bring you back. Ezekiel saw these dry and withering bones in a valley. They were as far away from life as anything could get. Lifeless, dried up, turning to dust. And God brought them back, bone by bone, muscle by muscle, covering them in rejuvenated skin. God breathed life into them, and they were alive. Breath. And God said, this is what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to bring them back to life. So, was this a vision? Yeah, it was a vision. Did God mean this literally? No. This was more about feeling hopeless and lifeless and not having anything. God didn't bring back the Israelites. He didn't bring them back to life on a massive horror movie spectacle. But this reading, it communicates that there are no limits to when, where, or how God brings new life. So what happens is God's love, God's ability to bring new life. It's the exact opposite of some of the ways sometimes we see Christianity explained. God doesn't do left behind. No. God does bring you back. That's what God does. I want to tell more of Ezekiel's story. You remember Steve Case, who has been here at St. Paul's as a speaker, as an author, minister, speaker, friend of mine, and the story I'm going to tell is actually a repeat from a few years ago. It's included in Steve's book, God Up Close. And the story is it's very earthy, very sensual, and it's got this vivid descriptions. And for all that the story is, it's a very accurate description of Ezekiel's story. If you want to get the book, I have one copy in my office, but you can go to Steve's webpage, stevekspeaks.net. And here we go. Ezekiel was sitting at the head of the table. The elders of the tribe of Judah sat around him. They were all staring at him, waiting. He'd grown to loathe these meetings. He'd never been a big fan of meetings anyway. Committees rarely make things better and usually make them worse. But this was hellish. The elders all sat around and waited for him to say something funny. The general consensus was that Ezekiel had gone off his nut. Months ago, he'd been in a meeting just like this one when suddenly a giant hand, yes, a giant hand, came into the room, grabbed him by his hair, and yanked him away. Everyone else in the room saw the giant hand. Everyone else saw him get yanked through the roof. But did the townsfolk say they were nuts? No, just stole off his nut Ezekiel. The only difference, Ezekiel reminded himself, was that the others had the good sense to keep their mouths shut. So the hand of God had come into the room, lifted Ezekiel by his hair, and shown him horrific visions. It was bad enough that God had asked him to walk around naked for years. Had he done that? Yes, he had. God also asked him to lie on one side for more than a year and then bake wretched muffins and eat them in front of everyone. Had he done that? Yep, he had. God described his people. For real, God described his people as two slutty sisters who did horrible, disgusting things. Had Ezekiel listened? Yep, he had. Then God took Ezekiel's wife. God warned, I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes. He told Ezekiel not to mourn, not to wear clothes that mourners wear or eat the food that mourners eat. God said that would somehow get through to the people who'd missed every other message Ezekiel had delivered from God. So far, though, the results were nothing. The people were as dumb as rocks. Ezekiel delivered his messages during the day. At night, when he lay alone in the cold of his bed, he cried for all that he'd lost. He was just entertainment for the people. Let's go to the council meeting and see what Ezekiel the Nutball has to say today. So Ezekiel sat at the head of the table. He chaired the meeting. He followed all the rules, and still they all looked at him as if they were waiting for the next crazy thing he might do. "Are you even listening to me?" That's what Ezekiel shouted. Suddenly their faces changed. Ezekiel knew immediately that they were looking behind him. The hand was back. It grabbed him by the hair that had finally grown back after God told him to shave it all off. Once again, Ezekiel was jerked out of his own home, carried high above the city, and dropped into an open field. Ezekiel lay on the ground and coughed at the dust that wafted up from where he'd landed. He waved a hand in front of his face, and as the dust cleared, he found himself nose to nose with a human skull. Well, nose to nose hole, as it were. "Ah!" Ezekiel scooted away from the skull and heard a crunching sound. Oh. Looking to his left, he saw that his hand rested on the armored breastplate surrounding a skeleton rib cage. A sword held the breastplate and what was left of ribs in place, stuck fast to the ground, and Ezekiel would, well, he would later pride himself for not screaming a second time. He jumped to his feet, and Ezekiel felt bones break under his sandals. He leapt around, trying not to land on anything that was once human, and that proved to be a challenge. When he finally found solid footing, he gingerly made his way across the valley. He looked around and he saw no trees, no distant mountains, no cities anywhere. Instead, he was tiptoeing where a great slaughter had taken place. Thousands upon thousands of bones were all around him. Some of the skulls had helmets on. Some still clutched hands, still clutched swords that pinned their bodies to the ground as though trying to release themselves. Ezekiel tried not to be sick. Unsuccessfully. He looked up to the darkened sky. "Well?" The voice of God came to him from all across the valley and from right next to his ear. It made the ground beneath his feet vibrate, while at the same time it sounded like it was, well, just above him, the way his father's voice used to sound. The voice said, "Ezekiel, are these bones alive?" Ezekiel, assuming it was a trick question, replied, "Like I'd know." God's voice became thunder. "Preach to them!" "Preach to them?" Ezekiel repeated. This time the voice came from right beside him. It was calm and quiet and utterly human. "Tell them I am God. I will put them back together. I will attach muscles to them. I will fill their veins with blood. I will stretch fresh skin around them. They will stand up and know me." Ezekiel looked around and hoped no one was watching him. Then he lifted up his arms and said, "Hear me, bones!" And the bones didn't look like they were listening. Ezekiel said, "Listen, bones, God's going to breathe across the valley. God's going to put you together. He's going to knit muscles onto you and sew veins into you and stretch fresh skin around you. You'll stand up and you'll know God." There was rattling. That rattling sound that followed was almost sickening. It sounded like dry rain. Every shard of brittle bone that had broken away from the original moved across the ground and put itself back into place. Broken bones came together. The bones that had snapped beneath Ezekiel's feet now rolled away from him and reattached themselves to their original hosts. The bones became part of foot bones connected to the ankle bones connected to the leg bones. That skull that Ezekiel encountered when he was first dropped into the valley, now stood on top of its skeleton. Its fleshless hands turned from gray to white and then reached up to straighten the helmet on his head. The skeleton was taller than Ezekiel, and it cocked its head to one side as if studying him with empty eye sockets. One by one, the skeleton army stood. The sound of metal clanging against bone grew louder. Ezekiel spun around and saw the vast army of bones now on its feet. All of the skeletal soldiers turned toward him. They stared at him with sightless eyes. One skeleton pulled a sword from its chest and then scratched at the empty space with a bony finger as if the wound somehow itched. The next sound was wet, as moist muscle and veins sewed themselves intricately through the bony framework of the soldiers all around him. Ezekiel could see blood coursing through the veins. Lungs grew from nothing and attached themselves inside rib cages. Stomachs and organs filled the body with fluid. The face that was staring into Ezekiel suddenly grew two brown eyes and made the skull look more, dead somehow. As a boy, Ezekiel had once watched his friend Josiah, as Josiah's dad, a tanner, stretched an animal skin onto a wooden rack and began to clean it. It was a sound Ezekiel had never forgotten, and now he heard it again, times a million. Skin stretched over muscles, bones, veins. It covered the faces and arms of soldiers and turned them from a bleached white into something healthy and alive. Finally, the man standing right in front of Ezekiel was whole. But Ezekiel could see deep into the man's eyes. There was nothing there, no soul, no sign of an inner being. And Ezekiel spun around. The vast army of the dead surrounded him, staring at him with empty eyes, empty of breath, empty of soul. The voice of God spoke to him again. This time, it came like a whisper next to his ear. Preach to them. Preach to them again. Tell them this. The four winds will come. They will pass through this place and breathe life back into you. And you will be whole again. So Ezekiel put his hand on the shoulder of the lifeless man in front of him. He said quietly, knowing that if it were the word of God, every ear would hear it. He said, the four winds will come. They will pass through this place and breathe life back into you, and you will be whole again. For the first time, the eyes of the man whose skull Ezekiel had nearly stepped on came into focus, as if they were connecting to something besides an empty skull. A low hum echoed through the valley. Ezekiel looked around and realized the sound was coming from the men. Their voices were murmuring, calling, and eventually shouting. A massive chorus of pure noise rose into the air. Ezekiel covered his ears. The shouts soon began to reverberate, taking on different tones. Some voices began to sing. Others laughed out loud. The rejuvenated soldiers embraced one another as if they hadn't seen each other in years. The voice of God spoke again. And Ezekiel realized he was the only one who could hear it above the din or the laughter and song. Ezekiel, are these bones alive? Ezekiel looked up at the sky, caught up in the moment of the life around him. Yes, Lord. God said, these bones are like my precious children of Israel. They have dried up. They have no hope, no souls, no breath. I want you to go and preach to them. They will listen. Use my words and you will be heard. You will put life back into my people. I will give them a new place. I will put my life spirit into them. I will make them whole. How will they know? How do I tell them? What about those who still won't listen? What if I mess it up? What if, when, how? God's voice spoke to him clearly and answered all of his questions at once. Because I am God. God doesn't do left behind. God does bring you back. Life. Breath. Amen.